because I would like to ask about the Comforter. I always thought for myself that Jesus could even put this question to his disciples to say that you are the Comforter. But I always think in this direction that nobody can take the place even of Jesus. Nobody can take the place of the Comforter. He could even point it to the disciples to say, you will be the Comforter. But I'm going to read it to you and maybe you can explain to me. It's John chapter 14 verses 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I'm going to read again. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I always thought to myself... I'm not finished yet.
Could you explain that to you? I ask you to explain that to you.
Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comfort. So another means, other than the one that is there. There was a comforter there. Who was that comforter?
Holy Spirit.
So he's talking about another comforter. Not him, not the Holy Spirit, but another. And that is Muhammad. According to your own admission now, look, Jesus is not that comforter. Is the Holy Ghost is the comforter, and he said, I will give you another. So this another is Muhammad, and he guided mankind into all truth. Can't you see? Another, you understand the meaning of the word another? That means the one is there, and that one you say is the Holy Ghost. So he's talking about another, which the world cannot receive because it wasn't there. But you are being prepared to receive him. You were prepared already. But it's prejudice now that's coming in the way, it's barring you from accepting the man. And he's abiding with you forever. This is the book, the last and final revelation of God. So in his teaching, are you interjecting me now? In his teaching, this is there forever. There won't be another after this. For 1,400 years now, there has not been another book that has come to supersede this. This is the last and final revelation of God Almighty, which stands forever.
Brother, out of fairness, please not to ask to the persons behind you, could you have the next question? Then you could go to the back of the line like the others did. Yeah, could the next person come, please? Out of fairness to him. Thank you.
Evening, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen. I want to greet you all in Jesus' name.
Right. Glad to meet you.
I'm here in no other name but in the name of Jesus. Mr. Chairman, I believe that this book contains the Word of God. Mr. Ahmad Didat, would you kindly explain to me, if you would like to turn to 2 Corinthians 13:14 and explain to me, Mr. Didat, what it really says there?
If you have that in your mind, you better ask me the question. You don't expect me to do homework for you, open the book, read it to you, read it to the people, wasting my time and the people's time. If you know what you want, please ask your question. What is your question?
Can you explain the Trinity unto me, Mr. Didat?
What is that?
The Trinity.
Was that the subject we were discussing this evening? Trinity? Were we discussing Trinity or Muhammad, the natural successor to Christ? What were we discussing?
Mr. Didat, you have denied the word of God from the very word A, and I would just challenge you, Mr. Didat, if I may. Already it seems that I'm not allowed to, but I would love you to explain the Trinity, Mr. Didat.
All right, I'll explain to you.
Thank you.
You see, the Trinity is something that existed in the pagan world long before Jesus was born. The Romans had that Trinity. The Hindus had that Trinity. And this Trinity which the Christians are following today is not the teaching of Jesus Christ. You see, there is only one verse in the Christian Bible, the one that you're holding now, where Trinity is explained in the most simple and easy language, most distinctively. And that is the first epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 7, where it says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That is the closest to what the Christians believe in what they call the Holy Trinity. But that verse now has been thrown out of this Bible. And all modern translations of the Bible have thrown it out as a fabrication, as an interpolation. I wonder if you know about that. All the modern translations of the Bible, they have thrown it out as an interpolation, a fabrication. Do you know about that?
Carry on.
Thank you very much. Could we carry on to the next person? Hold it, please. Silence. Next question.
Sir, I didn't, as you said, I'll bring this clear to Mr. Ahmad Didat. Mr. Ahmad Didat, what do you think about those two scriptures? Deuteronomium, as you know it, 18:18, where it says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. That's one. First thing, to who did Moses speak?
Thank you. That is your question, eh? To whom did Moses speak? Right? Yeah.
Moses didn't speak those words. Those words were spoken by God to Moses.
No, I don't ask. I ask, to whom did Moses speak? I don't ask. I know God speak, but it's the people with him. Who was that people with him? Was it Arabians, Egyptians, in the way of Sodomites? Who was the people with him?
Or you mean around him? When he, whatever was revealed to him, to whom did he first convey that message? Is that what you want to know?
Yes.
Right. He was speaking to the children of Israel in the first instance.
Right. Thank you.
Now here is the question to use. Chapter 15. You say that this was Moses said this going to be Muhammad, but listen to this. Here it says here, but he answered not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who was then that?
Thank you. Next question, please.
Yes, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Mr. Dieter, it is quite certain that you've made some deep studies into the Bible. And now, any casual reader of the Bible will know, as you will admit, that the Holy Spirit is spoken of as being present on the earth since creation. In Genesis already, the Spirit of God moved upon the deep. But Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit coming in a different way. As one of the former questioners was confused, you see, because it is quite easy to become confused with this vast crowd. You must be quite at home with a crowd like this, but you know, and we're not trained for these things.
No,
so give
is,
me...
What is the question?
The question is this. Mr. Dieter, do you admit that the Holy Spirit was on earth? You proved that, in fact. All before Christ, right from creation, when Jesus spoke of his coming, of the promised comforter, surely he spoke of the Holy Spirit as coming in a different way. Because formerly, the Holy Spirit abided with them, but now he would live inside of them eternally. It could not be Muhammad as you, or the Quran, the teachings of Muhammad, because it speaks of a person, a he. Muhammad is not with us now. So you answered a former questioner by saying that the teachings of Muhammad have been with us all these years, but the comforter is not the teachings of Muhammad. The comforter, according to you, is Muhammad. Now the Bible says, Jesus said, this comforter abides with us eternally. Which means you are trying to tell us Muhammad is here with us now and abides with us all through.
Thank you.
If you read the scriptures once more again, your Gospel of St. Luke, you will read there about Lazarus or Dykes. You know, that there was a fellow simmering in hell and he wanted Abraham to send somebody to dip his finger in the water and put it in his mouth. So he said, now look, between you and us there is a barrier which we can't cover. So the man made a request, the one in hell. He said, allow me to go back and warn my brethren about the punishment that is awaiting them here if they don't mend their ways. So the answer that was given to them, that they have Moses and the prophets. Do you remember that verse? Have you heard that verse before? That they have Moses and the prophets. Is Moses here with us today? But that's what the Bible says, that they have Moses and the prophets. So, Moses and the prophets, what it means is this, that in their teaching, Moses is with you. The prophets are with you in their teaching. Likewise, in an identical manner, Muhammad is with us in his teaching. You don't have to be physically present. Jesus is with us in his teaching. The words which he gave, they are with us. So he is with us. Moses, the teaching he gave, the Ten Commandments, they are with us. Moses is with us. So it is not a physical with and not with. It is the teaching that they are talking about. That in the teaching, Moses is with us. In the teaching, Jesus is with us. In the teaching, Muhammad is with us. And Muhammad's teachings are going to abide forever. And Jesus told you, and I kept on repeating, that he says, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I will send him. In other words, he was not talking about the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost was helping him in his ministry, helping the disciples in the ministry. And as you said, from the beginning of creation, the Holy Spirit was with everybody. So he was not talking about that. He's talking about somebody who will guide you into all truth, solve all your problems. And for 40 years I've been asking, learned men of Christendom, including your good self, I only want one new thing. One new thing that the Holy Ghost gave you in 2,000 years, which Jesus Christ could not have given you because of your hard-headedness.
Brother, thank you very much. Could I put it to you this way? There are, besides yourself, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people standing.
But you see, it is very misleading if someone puts a question and Mr. Dida gives his, any answer he can give, and the people will accept it, because I can't tell him now that that is wrong. He can give any answer, anything he can say, but because I must get off now, it means everybody will go away with his answer. So the questioning is even more dangerous than the lecture.
Sorry, just hold it, brother, before you start. There are 6 of you there. We have time for 3 more questions because there's a limit on the time here, right? Could the 6 of you decide who puts the 3 questions?
Please.
Please. Yeah. We've got to leave the hall by 1:30, you see, and we've still got to pack up too.
Okay, I would like to make it very brief.
All right.
Maybe I can get a brief answer. Mr. Muhammad, Mr. Ahmadidas, you accuse the Christians and mankind as such of being in the sickness, of having the sickness of changing names. I think that's quite true. That is, you know, we all change names here and there. It's done, you know, by Christians who's converted Muslims, perhaps, and Muslims who's converted Christians. And you even said that if Muhammad would have died before 40 years, of his age of 40, we wouldn't have known about this man at all. Now, I have learned that the name of Muhammad was not actually Muhammad, but his name was Abul Qasim. Could you please tell me what age was Muhammad? In which age was Muhammad? When he became the title Muhammad, because it is a very vital question. If you refer
now... When he became the what?
I got it. When he received the title Muhammad, with what, which age?
When Muhammad was born, you see, as an infant, a little baby, his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, took him to the Kaaba. You know, that Abraham and his son Ishmael had, Abraham and Ishmael had built, and he presented this infant child to the leaders of the Quraysh. And they asked him, what have you named him? And he said, Muhammad. This is a very novel name, something new. We never had such a name before. He says, I want my grandchild to be praised throughout the world. Because Muhammad literally means the praised one. So from birth, the first name that was given to him was Muhammad. Now this expression, Abul Qasim, comes later in history. The Arabs have a system. You see, that if you are the father of a child called Qasim, so you are Abul Qasim, the father of Qasim. You are Abul Ibrahim, the father of Abraham. But you have your own name. So this is a respectful way of calling people by Abu Bakr. It's not his name. See? But he said, now you are the father of Bakr. So this is Abul Qasim, means the father of Qasim. Yes, that was when a child was born and the name was given and this name, so Muhammad acquired that title as the father of Qasim, but his name was Muhammad from the very beginning.
Thank you very much. Next question, please.
The Muslim people now, I pray God opens everybody's eyes tonight here before they die. They always say to me, we will find out at the judgment day. Judgment day is too late. You're either saved or lost forever on the judgment day. But anyway, they object very strongly to Jesus being called the Son of God. Mr. Didat said, honor your father and mother, quoting the word of God. Now, the Quran confirms what the Bible says, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Now, who was the father of Jesus Christ?
Thank you.
I will be dealing with the subject about the birth of Jesus in detail, but I will answer your question. We do believe that Jesus Christ was born miraculously, without any male intervention. We say this was the work of God. The Quran says, وَإِذَا قَدَىٰ أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Whenever he decrees a matter, God Almighty, he merely wills it and the thing comes into being. So he was born without any male intervention. So your question
God
now
God is his father.
Who is his father? So the Quran answers that. It says, "Inna masala Isa, inna Allahi kamasali Adama." It says the similitude of the example of Jesus in the sight of God is like that of Adam. خَلَقَهُ مِن تُرَابٍ. He created him from dust. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُن فَيَكُونَ. And he said to him, "Be," and he was. Who? Adam. Who was his father? Say,
He is the father of Adam.
Amen.
He is the father of Jesus.
And that is not funny. That is quite true. There was no man or woman to conceive Adam.
Right.
So the first man had to be made by God.
Right.
By God.
So God is
the
father.
Out of dust.
Right.
So in the same way, there was no man who conceived Jesus Christ. His father is Almighty God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
So
and
now,
every knee will bow and every tongue confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, you can laugh at me tonight, all of you.
Nobody's laughing
at
you.
But I'm telling you tonight that we are going to be judged by Jesus Christ, the Almighty God. And Jesus is God no matter what you get told. And I want each of you to spend as much time, your very salvation, your eternity depends on yourselves. Ahmed Didat cannot stand up on Judgment Day and explain for you.
Brother,
you must explain for yourselves.
Brother, thank you. That was a lecture and a warning. I hope those people here take heed. But I would like to remind you, first of all, of the Qurans that are for sale at 10 rand for 2, and the free booklets and the pamphlets. But I wish to thank you very, very heartily for coming, and all those who participated in question time. Thank you.